New episode of the podcast. It is solo dolo episode for Tech Guy today. Tyler Kluver goes by myself for 40 minutes or so talking Caitlin Clark breaking records, Iowa basketball maybe breaking records in a bad way. And then we get into the big news, which is Proctor flips from Iowa to Bama, and we sort of dive into that. So let's try and have a day. Let's go. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. This is Tyler Kluver, solo episode. Everybody turn it off. Who knows how many people are going to stay? I don't know, but we're here. We're doing it alone. Drake decided. It's interesting. Drake texts today. He knows we're recording, by the way. He's given me and Kevin multiple times, whether it be all in good fun or serious, plenty of shit about we record on this day. Why do we have to push it back? Oh, you got something in your schedule that makes us have to. And now 2 weeks in a row, he, on a Wednesday night, when he knows that Wednesday night is when we record, has missed the podcast for dinner. Just dinner. Dinners that are planned and presumably not crazy important. I don't think he's meeting with the fucking president. And I don't think him and Biden, I mean, knowing Drake, it's certainly not him and Biden, but you know, I don't know what we're doing here. Priorities, man. My question to Kevin after or before learning that Kevin wasn't going to be here was, is this the beginning of the end for Drake? And that's joke. But guys just starting to miss for dinner. So I see where I line up in the priorities. He's got a lady friend. We've talked about it. He goes to stuff with her. He spends more time with her. It's good for him. But man, it's cutting into that podcast time. Anyway, welcome into the show today. It's going to be a short one. Kevin is not able to make it because he actually has a real job and he sucks. Snow's coming down. And we're in a spot that we don't find ourselves in a whole lot of the time. And that is tech guy, producer, game manager, if you will, of this show has to run the podcast by himself. So is today going to be the funniest episode? No, probably not. Are you going to find the best one-liners in today's episode? No, probably not. We'll roll through some critical information and that'll be that. 20, 25 minutes, boom, bam, get you out of here and get you into the holiday weekend as you guys are listening to this on Thursday, December 22nd, 3 days away from Christmas. We were going to do a nice little Christmas top five traditions in this one, but that clearly isn't going to happen now. I think we'll save that for the next podcast. It'll be a day after Christmas when that comes out, but that's okay. A lot of people will still be having their celebrations, doing their family get-togethers on that day or through next week. But today we're going to talk a little bit about Iowa basketball, Iowa women's basketball, a couple of things that happened there today on this Wednesday where they had to move the games up due to the snow. We're going to talk about signing day. We're going to talk about, obviously, the big one. And this conversation is never as entertaining as it would be if I had my co-hosts here, my buddies, my pals. But who knows? You know, Drake would give some opinion. We'll get that at a later date. But Proctor flips to Alabama. Big loss for the Hawks. It's funny how you can see some people out there trying to downplay it or spin it. I think that hurts. We did sign a class of guys who are going to be Hawkeyes, and we'll talk about them as well, who we did get, and maybe who can help the Hawks right away. There's always a few guys that have the potential to help the Hawks right away. And we'll dive deeper into the Caden thing and some of the stuff that he said over the last day, 2 days, with the flip, and maybe try to psychoanalyze an 18-year-old, which probably isn't the best thing to do. Hand up, that's probably not the best content or something that really matters. But it's not often that you get a 5-star to commit to your program if you're the Iowa Hawkeyes. It's not often, unless you're Georgia or Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama or what, another 4 or 5 schools. There might be 10 schools out there where you could say, it's pretty often that we get a five-star. Iowa is not one of those schools. I think there's some people out there who think that Iowa at some point can be one of those schools. We could build ourselves to be one of those. I think you're wrong. I think there's some infrastructure in place with where we're positioned in the country, with the demographics of where Iowa City is, and with the tradition, for whatever reason or not, that it happened the way it did over the last 100 years, going all the way back to Niall Kinnick and who established, you know, their tradition and their reputation as a blue blood and all of that. There's a lot of factors that play into the fact that, at least in our lifetime, anybody listening to this podcast, for the next 50, 75, 100 years, Iowa's not going to be a school where, even after years and years and years of grinding in the right direction, it's still not going to be a school. I don't think that is like, yeah, they just get five stars. They're just a powerhouse. I think it's always going to be a developmental program. I could be wrong on that. That's my opinion. A lot of opinions today on today. So we'll get to that in a second. First off, I want to thank a bunch of patrons who helped us out this season, work towards that huge $25,000 donation, half of which went to the Child Life Fund, which goes to the patients and their families' well-being during their stays at the hospital. Half went to the NICU fund, which is obviously for the babies, for the little newborns who are brought into the world and need a little extra help in the beginning. $12,500 to both of those funds, something that we never even really expected to make money doing this show. And I know we've said that often. We certainly didn't expect to make enough money that, you know, the boys could profit a little bit, have a little fun, put on some events, pay for some trips to a 2021 Big Ten championship game, pay for fancy equipment, and then also be able to donate not just a couple $100, but thousands of dollars, now up into the tens of thousands of dollars to the Children's Hospital, which just so happened to coincide with sort of our career at the University of Iowa. So all of these patrons that I'm about to read off are part of that. Thank you for joining the Walk-On Army this season on Patreon. Hopefully you've enjoyed Drake and I's extra podcasts, the ad-free listening, zero ads, are a part of that listening experience. Once you join the Patreon, you get the episodes early. You get to watch the video early at the right tier. You get discounts on our merchandise, access to pieces of merchandise like the Goat Wallace merch that nobody else gets access to. And then, of course, half your money goes straight to the kids. So we try to make it worth it. We try to make it fun, trying to do cool things while also make this a profitable thing. We're not here. This isn't, I'm not going to lie, right? We're not doing this just for fun anymore, since I took over this as my job. And so people like you guys who I'm about to read off are super important to us. Cody R, Don D, Mark G, Jake B, Doug P, Molly G, Darren J, Jeff, Adrian, Matt, some of you didn't put a last name, Zach F, Matt M, Dan, Mitch K, Hayden U, Melissa C, Jordan B, I don't want to say last names just for to keep a little bit of anonymity here, Zach M, Nate H, Ethan C, Stephen K, Isaiah B, Greg D, Grain B, Katie L. That is everybody that joined in September and October. We've gotten a little behind on these. I'll read off November and December in the coming episodes as we turn the page on the new year. But thank you guys so much for joining. And again, that's it's people like you who not only help us in our mission to entertain the Hawkeye fan base and bring a drastically different perspective than basically everybody else that's creating Iowa content out there, Iowa podcasts, Iowa shows, but keep things not so serious, make you laugh, say wild shit that you can't say anywhere else, create a community, and have a little fun doing it. So thank you guys to all of you. You are greatly appreciated, especially on a personal note. I am recording. This is the first podcast that I am recording after officially becoming a father. So I can even, through my noise-canceling headphones, hear the little baby girl upstairs whining a little bit, crying a little bit. Kinley James Kluver was brought into this world on Friday morning, and she is killing it. And being a father's cool. I'm sure I'll talk about it a lot more, so I'm not going to run it dry here, but I know Drake and Kevin will ask about it. It's cool, man. It's cool. It definitely changes perspective. It's a very unique moment in your life. And Lauren and I are blessed to, one, be able to, again, do what I do here so that I have the ability to have a lot of flexibility and now spend a lot of time with her and the baby around the holidays and moving forward. But again, being able to produce content for y'all, do it from home, it's something I don't take lightly. So thank you guys so much. That's 13 minutes of me just talking about myself and other dumb stuff. Let's talk about some relevant stuff. So today, Iowa women's basketball and men's basketball played doubleheader at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I believe if you had a ticket to one, you had a ticket to both. So that's cool. I think they moved the games up due to the snow that was rolling in. And I was able to catch a little bit of that snow before I came down here to podcast. Who knows? Sounds like we're going to get hammered. I'm not sure how much it'll actually end up. Iowa men's basketball lost to Eastern Illinois. The Iowa men were a 31.5-point favorite. I have it down here. Iowa basketball, 31.5-point favorite, loses to Eastern Illinois, who is 3-9 in the Ohio Valley Conference. And I saw John Miller post the stat that out of 363 teams in Division I basketball, coming into today, they were ranked 356th. So that's not good. I'm certainly not going to dwell on this or act like I know what I'm talking about here. I did not watch the game. That's a game on Iowa's schedule that absolutely has to be won if they're, you know, fighting for a spot in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it only makes it tougher going out the rest of the season from here. And I also saw that since Duke, I think it was Duke lost to Stephen A. Austin, and it was a 28.5-point line on that game. This is the biggest upset against the spread in the last 30 years of Division I men's college basketball, maybe just college basketball altogether. So that's bad. That's not good. Teams that were 30-point dogs going into today were something, my wife read me, were something like 532 or 0 and 532. They're now 1 and 530. It was a statistic impossibility. It was statistically impossible for this team to come in and win today. You could have made unbelievable money if you would have bet East to win straight up. So that's not good. That's the negative that happened at Carver today. The positive was that the girls won their game. I think they handled it pretty good. And, you know, the star Hawkeye, probably one of the most, gosh, in women's sports, she's certainly a top 10 NIL figure in the country. Caitlin Clark, the hometown kid, ties Elena Deladon, who's a stud, by the way, one of the best, arguably one of the best women's basketball players ever, ties Elena Deladon, who played for Delaware, for the fastest player to 2,000 points. It took her 75 games. That's an average of 26.7 per game. I mean, that is unbelievable. And I know a couple games ago, they actually lost 40 or something. She scored a bunch against NC State and they lost. I think their record when she scores over 40, she's done it 4 or 5 times, is like 1-3 or 1-4. And so she talked about how clearly that's not the recipe for winning. She'd rather not score 40, involve other teammates and get people the ball so that they can win games, because that's ultimately what matters. Caitlin's going to get hers. Doesn't matter if it's 20 or 30 or 40. But this got me thinking, if she's tied for the fastest player ever to 2,000 points, and they play, I don't know, 30 games a year, right? I think I looked at the men's schedule this year. They play 31 before what would be the conference tournament. And Caitlin, her first year was technically 2020. Not technically. Her first year was 2020. So she has a COVID year. It would not surprise me in the slightest if Caitlin Clark plays 5 years for the Iowa Hawkeyes, which means that she is in her middle year of five, her third year of five right now. And I thought, well, this is going to be unprecedented, right? She's the fastest ever to 2,000 points. Arguably, it would be tough to argue that she's going to slow down, right, to 3,000, to the record, whatever that may be. And so I was curious, what is the record? What is the record for most points scored by a Division I women's basketball player in a career? And I thought, well, if Elena Deladon is tied with Caitlin for this record, she's got to be number one, right? Well, she's actually not. She just cracks the top 10 at number 10 all time. Her last season was in 2013. She played in 114 games. So she actually played in, compared to a lot of these girls up here, significantly less games. Elena Deladon scored 3,039 points total in 114 games. Very, very impressive. Kelsey Plum of Washington, who finished up and I think is one of the stars of the WNBA right now, she has the record for most points scored, and she has it pretty significantly. 125 more points than anybody else has ever scored. Did I say Kelsey Mitchell? Kelsey Plum. I don't know. Kelsey Plum is up top. Kelsey Mitchell is second. Kelsey Plum from Washington finished up in 17, played 139 games, scored 3,527 points. 3,527 points. That's a shitload, by the way. Second is 3,402. Right behind her is 3,393. There's a couple from a long ways. There's actually Lori Baumann is sixth on this all-time list from way back in 1984. And she has 3,115 points total career and only played 120 games. The top four on this list all played 129 or more. So points per game, obviously a different stat here, but some really interesting stuff to look at. But when it pertains to Caitlin, let's say that Caitlin plays, let's say she only plays 30 games a year. The top girls on this list appear to have played about 33 to 35, but let's say Caitlin only plays 30 a year, right? And right now she's averaging 26.7, and you times that by just 4 years, 120 games. That would put her at 3,204 points, which would rank her fifth all time. Now, I know they play more than 30, right? So if you add to that 0.7, let's say another 10 games, 130. 130 games would put her at 3,471 points. That would be second place all time, and just 51 points behind the all-time lead. That is if she just plays 4 years. That would obviously be a average of about 850 to 900 points a year. And to add that on for a fifth COVID year, she would be far and away the all-time leader in points. It would be asterisked with the COVID year and the amount of games played, but she would easily clear the 4,000 points. We know that Caitlin has sort of transcended the game, but that's pretty impressive stuff, if you ask me. It will be very interesting to see what she does with that COVID year. She is a Nike contract. She's on a Hy-Vee contract. I think she's on several other bigger contracts in the NIL world right now. And it would be hard to argue, to me at least, and I'm not your number one consumer of women's basketball here, but it would be hard to argue to me that her value in money-making potential, which it's not everything, but money-making potential, gets bigger when she goes to the WNBA, as opposed to staying in Iowa City in the black and gold, where they get just as many or more fans to their games than a lot of WNBA teams get, and a ton of local businesses wanting to work with. I would put money that she stays for a fifth year. It'll be interesting to see. So let's move on. Here's a question for you, Walk-On Army listeners out there. You guys ever had an idea for a t-shirt? You've been sitting around. You're just like, man, you know, someone says something funny, or you have this ongoing joke within your family or a group of friends, and you're like, we should make t-shirts for that. We should definitely have t-shirts for that. Well, AdCraft is your people, okay? AdCraft, they've been doing our merch. Every time I have one of those ideas, I'm sitting here in the Walk-On headquarters in my office, and I'm like, that's it. We got to have that on a t-shirt. Or sometimes you guys are like, hey, we need this on a t-shirt. And we immediately get to work with AdCraft. Years ago, AdCraft took the time and effort to build their streamlined custom apparel web store service. It wasn't easy, but they felt it was necessary to give their customers a superb experience. And that's exactly what they've done. Their custom merch web store service is designed to make ordering custom apparel and merch easy and efficient. You streamline everything. I'm telling you guys, they literally take care of it all. They're so fast. They get back to me. I have an idea. Bang. Email them. Bang. I have a design. It's crazy. I'm not joking. Their web store curators will work with you to create the most optimal web store for your audience. They'll help you with product selection, artwork, store scheduling, much more. You can raise funds for your team or your club with AdCraft's Fan Gear fundraising program. You can literally do it all. They can take care of every part of the process. You guys know that we love them. We think you'll love them too. Go to adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. www.adcraftwebstores.com. We're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second, but first we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com, to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brands. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons. The big news of the week was that Caden Proctor, the five-star recruit out of Southeast Polk, the second one in as many years after Xavier Wampa came out last year, flipped his commitment, to the Alabama Roll Tide Crimson Tide after being committed to Iowa since, I think, earlier in the summer. Had an offer from everybody. He's the number five recruit in the country at all positions. Number one at his position at offensive tackle. He is 6'8", 350 pounds reportedly. I don't know if that's true, but looking at him, not hard to believe. He would likely have been a plug and play, and I know Listy in the Discord, one of our best contributors, one of probably our biggest supporters and our best supporters, our guy Listy was of the opinion that he would not have started right away next year. I personally, Tyler Kluver, think that that's bonkers. After watching this year's offensive line play, maybe it doesn't happen at tackle, right? Maybe he doesn't step in right away at the left or right tackle for the Hawks, but Wirfs and James Daniels are the last two freshmen, true freshmen, to step in and receive significant playing time, starting playing time at some point during the season of their true freshman year. They both came in and filled a role, whether it be to injury or whatever, on lines that across the five were much deeper as far as overall position depth, and much further along skill talent-wise than the one that the Hawks just put on the field in 2022. We lose Plum, I believe, and he was one of our starters. So we got to step in with a new starter already. And to think that 6'8", 350-pound Caden Proctor doesn't fill one of those guard spots, at least, if not the right tackle to start with, just a plug-and-play in place of Plum, Richmond on the left side, it hurts. I think it hurts. The rumors started flying, probably on the message boards before it hit the Discord, but certainly on the Discord it was flying around Sunday or Monday evening, with signing day this morning, Wednesday the 21st, in the focus coming up. And this is interesting to me. It's not surprising. It's interesting. It's not surprising, right? We just talked about Justin Jacobs going to Oregon, and as much as Terry Roberts and his dad and Justin and his dad want to try and deflect on Twitter, I think it would not be surprising to see Justin doing some sponsored posts or some NIL deals around Eugene pretty quick once he gets out there. I think money was a component of that, and I think it's great. I personally, sure, I said this on the last podcast, would love to have him on the Hawks, but I think it's great if you as a young guy can go make unreal money that you can't really make anywhere else. People are willing to give you deals fork up some cash for you to play a game that you already love, I think it's awesome. But in this landscape, you land a 5-star. Well, that 5-star is valuable at some crazy levels to the schools that have the money, right? And I don't think this was all a money thing. I don't think Saban and Alabama, and I guess Proctor took a visit out to Oregon as well in the last week or 2 weeks. Again, money. I don't think that it was a simple decision of, I'm committed to Iowa, but if Saban and Alabama and Roll Tide can get me to a certain number financially, then I'll flip. It's, you know, it's all about the money. I think that it was about some of the stuff that he said, and I'll read some quotes here in a second. But I think the season hurt. I think the season the Hawks had hurt, and it's tough, but it's reality. The narrative and just the hard truth of what the Iowa offense was and the Iowa offensive line specifically was, it didn't help recruit or keep Caden in Iowa City. Some could say, and I do think this is an argument, hey, you're a guy who could come in and be the change. You could be the guy who starts right away, plays for 3 years, makes a huge name for himself in the city, in the state, becomes that Tristan Wirfs, that Brandon Sheriff, that Tyler Linderbaum. I mean, there's a blueprint. There is an absolute blueprint, which is a little bit why I don't believe some of the stuff that came out of Caden's mouth. And I'm not even saying he's lying. I think Caden is probably, and this is hyperbolic, super presumptuous of me, but he's also 18, and I don't think that this is a crazy thought. I think his mind is probably in a blender or has been in a blender. I think any 5-star could possibly find themselves in that scenario where their mind is just in an absolute whirlwind of paralysis by analysis. You have so many options. There's so many schools, every school that you could choose from, that it makes the decision really, really tough. I think his commitment back in the summer was true. I think he was 100% to Iowa. And I think that as an 18-year-old, the rate at which you are becoming a young adult, paired with the rate at which this NIL transfer portal sort of landscape of college football right now is evolving, paired with watching the team you just committed to play such horrific offense, paired with the fact that you have, again, Saban and Oregon too, tons of staffs across the country at schools that have more money than Iowa, who win more games than Iowa, a couple of them, who compete for national championships more likely than Iowa will, who also have, in Alabama's case, an incredible history, alum base in the NFL of offensive linemen. They do very well with offensive linemen there. They're another spot. Wisconsin, Iowa, Notre Dame, Bama, those places pump out offensive linemen. So it's not just, Oregon would have been weird, right? Because they're not O-line you. But Alabama makes sense. They're another place that cranks out big-time guys, centers, guards, tackles. They stole away Pierschbacher from Iowa back in 2014 class. Ike's buddy from Cedar Falls. He's still in the NFL, I believe. So it's not surprising that he would choose that school. It was an interesting, or I guess it is an interesting conversation to evaluate the way that he did it, because a lot of people are saying, I'm not mad at him making that decision. I'm mad the way he made it. And I could see that. And here's why. As a big time recruit like that, having the ability to at any moment flip to any school that you want, who's going to at any time, sort of like, yeah, we've got a spot if you want it, we'll make room. That comes with a lot of power and responsibility. I feel like we're on Spider-Man here. You have the ability to absolutely fuck a school up. And that's what Caden did here. Did he mean to? Was that ever a thought in his head? Was there ever any malicious intent here? No, I don't think so. I think it's an 18-year-old just trying to figure out his next 4 years. I can remember 10 years ago, 11 years ago, as a 17-year-old, trying to figure out, what am I going to do in life? And maybe some of you are a little further removed from that. Maybe some of you listening are a little closer to that. I know we've got some people that listen that are freshly out of Iowa or still attend the University of Iowa. Everybody should be able to think back and remember, holy shit, like I remember I was a little bit. Some people aren't. Some people are dead set. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to college. I'm going to do this for my major. But for most people, it just doesn't happen like that. And for a guy that has this many options, I just think it weighed on him. And the staff at Alabama, once he chose a school, well, now every other school had the ability to recruit against that school, pose to Caden Proctor why they were better than that school, why coming to their campus, playing for their team would be better than Iowa, Iowa City, the Iowa Hawkeyes. So I don't think there was any ill intent. But does he, in the end, does the decision still leave Iowa in a big fuck you situation? Yes, it does. Because they were expecting, you know, Saturday, I don't know when this happened, and it was reported, or I guess rumored, that he texted the staff. If he did that, that's kind of shitty, right? I get it. You're an 18-year-old. Some people are out here like, nope, NIL, all this. Now that they can, now that it's pay for play, they aren't kids anymore. Well, yeah, that's bullshit. It doesn't change their age or their maturity or how they've biologically developed, where they're at in their decisional-making process, right? Their brain growth process, the experience that they've been able to muster in 18 years. It doesn't change any of that. They are still kids. But I do think that to some extent, by 18 years old, you should probably know. You know, you might have gone through a couple of relationships at that point where you know, probably shouldn't break up over text, right? That's being a little bit soft, a little bit of. I'll step in for Drake here. If you did it over text and you didn't have the oomph to call, you're being a little bit of a pussy, you know? Right? You're going to make big boy decisions. You got to act like a big boy where you can. And I don't know if that's true, if it was by text, but if it was. So Tyler Barnes and his staff on, you know, this time last week or this weekend are thinking, hey, we got Caden. I think they signed 21 commits today. It was either 21 or 23. Let's say 21. And they're thinking, sweet, we got 22 commits. We got our guys. This is our class. Now all of a sudden you have one less guy. It leaves them with an open scholarship. Great, right? Caden's scholarship that was promised to him is now open. But guess what? For this class, everybody's made their decision, right? How many people are still out there right now? Certainly not anybody with the caliber of Caden's talent that we could replace, right? All those guys have made their decisions long ago and been recruited on hard by all these coaching staffs. So now we got to go find somebody else on short notice or try to flip somebody else. It's a weird game. He definitely leaves them in a weird spot. So I guess as a fan, and here's a thought on this, I will say, don't get too worried about, and yes, as a five-star, pretty likely he was going to contribute. Again, like I said, he was probably going to, in my opinion. But this is probably a good lesson in those people who get crazy into recruiting. It's why we don't do a lot of recruiting talk on this show. Because when you've been through it and you've kind of seen the guys come in who are supposed to be this and that, and then they get there and you're like, how did this guy even get an offer, right? The stars and the offers, they don't always line up. Probably did for this kid, but it's a good lesson in not getting your hopes up or not emotionally investing into someone that you don't know. Just some kid with a name and a star rating until he actually signs on the line and is wearing the colors. Because then what happens, especially in a high-profile case like this, is you get mass backlash, hysteria, almost, from the Hawkeye fan base. People calling him names. I mean, some of this shit. Saying that he let mommy make his decisions for him. I don't know if that's true. Could be. But people start to get absolutely pissed. And they're on, you know, their Cheeto finger, Twitter finger mode, where they can say whatever they want behind a profile that has a fucking walrus as its profile picture. And walrus 1876 says that Caden's a bitch and let mommy make his decisions and he got swayed for the money. Like, it just gets a little hostile. So just don't emotionally invest into these kids until they've actually signed on the dotted line, right? And maybe even until they've done something for the Hawks. It's a safer way to play. And I get it. My biggest criticism is like, oh, don't tell us how to fan. Well, okay. But sometimes I think perspective's good. We'll finish with this. Some comments from Caden. The big one that kind of hurts and I think is disrespectful, to be honest, is, and I don't think he made it to be disrespectful, but he said he felt like he would be settling if he went to Iowa. Felt like he would be settling in a sense that he would be an outlier amongst his recruiting class. And he didn't want to be the outlier amongst it. He would be settling for a place that he would be by far the best recruit. You know, that's a little middle finger to Iowa, even if he patted it lightly. And I don't think anybody at Iowa thinks that they're Bama, right? But I mean, come on. Caden's not stupid. He knows the tradition. He knows the bloodline of offensive linemen, right? Bulaga, shit, all the way back to Gallery, Bulaga, Reef, Scherf, Donnell, Butker, Sean Welsh, if he didn't want to retire, James Daniels, Werfs, Alaric Jackson. He's not settling. He's not settling there. I think that he said, when I went down there, I saw all the guys who were as big as me, had the same mindset as me, work like me. I don't want to come into a school where everyone there already thinks that I'm the best. That's not how I grow. I got to get hit in the mouth if I want to grow. And that Alabama talking about is that competition. And this is a little bit of, 18-year-old ignorance. Because if he thinks that he was going to step in and all of those Iowa players were going to just like roll out the red carpet for him, bust, you know, start shining his golden throne at his locker, he's sadly mistaken. I get it. I like the sentiment behind it, but don't say it that way. I get it. He's 18. Guy doesn't deal with a lot of interviews or press. I'm 28 and talk for a living, and I still suck at it. Nobody's listening anymore to this 45-minute podcast. But I don't want to come into a school where everyone there already thinks I'm the best. They aren't. They're all worried about themselves for the most part, and they're going to give you everything you got or everything they got. And guess what, Caden? You would get hit in the mouth at Iowa. I promise. That D-line would fucking roll you multiple times in camp. Doesn't mean you still wouldn't start, but you'd get hit in the mouth. All right. I remember Brandon Scherf, his senior year in 14, talking about how the best thing for him in his preparation for the NFL was going against Drew Ott every day. I remember Brandon Scherf in that bowl prep getting his ass chewed by Brian Ferentz because Drew Ott was eating his lunch during a team period, making the offense look silly. And he's Brandon Scherf, top five pick, senior, much further along and polished than where Proctor would roll into the program in 8 months. So a little bit of a false sense of what was going to happen there. Proctor, and maybe that speaks to his mindset, right? Maybe the guy thinks that he's all that. Maybe he sort of humbly on the back burner, sort of low key thinks, man, if I go to Iowa, I'm just going to be some stud. Like, I don't want to be just some stud who doesn't develop. It's a tough mindset to have. He'd get hit in the mouth plenty. He would have taken his licks, but that's what Alabama can recruit on. Again, that's Alabama recruiting against Iowa. He also said that's a good chance that I start right away for a national championship contending team and having fun and being the best I can be. I get the having fun part, right? It probably wasn't the most fun to be a part of Iowa's offenses. I understand that. Interesting, you know, and I think maybe this was fed to him too, because this is probably what they tell all their five stars. Hey, you're going to come in and start right away. Would love to see. Would love to see if he goes in and starts for Bama right away as a five-star. True freshman offensive tackle. If he does, fuck, good for him. That's insane. I'd put less money on that than him starting right away at Iowa. But you can't take away, he's right, they're a national championship contender every year, except for this year. And you will have fun down there. You'll beat some people's ass, play in the warm weather. Finally, he said, it's not about the money, because if people knew about the money situation, they wouldn't be talking about it. That one seems like a straight deflection. I think that he knows that a lot of the questions and speculation, similar, you know, Proctor knows, but evidently Justin doesn't know, would be about money and the NIL deals. I think the rumored sort of average of where people are sort of landing on what they've heard is that, and I've heard this from several people that have good sources, that it was $2 million basically a year for him to come play there. That would be, you know, Brad wasn't being shy about what they have. That would be 67% of what Iowa has total to offer everybody. And they're going to give it to just one player. So that's hard to compete with, right? All the other things considered. But in the end, I think that this is a case of you chose a school. The other schools were able to then hone in on and craft their continued recruitment based against that specific school, which that specific school, Iowa, happened to have a dog shit year, an all-time bad year on the offensive side of the ball, specifically struggling at the offensive line position. Saban and them, every other team, probably in his ear saying, you want to go play for that O-line, that offensive line coach, that offensive coordinator? You want to win 7 games, not even play for a conference championship? I get it. They should be. That's the way they should recruit. So they had too much time to recruit against a team that had a bad year. And as NIL advances, the money gets bigger. They find more funds. And I think when you make a decision like that at 18, you're probably always going to wonder what if. I don't think it's wrong to assume that he's getting some advice from adults in his life. And to be honest, I just had a daughter. If she could go play for the Hawks and make $200,000, or somebody was going to, I don't know what she'd be doing to make that much as in girl sports. Hopefully it's that way in 18 years. But, you know, Alabama came knocking and said, hey, here's $2 million. As her dad, I'd probably be hey, Kinley. Ooh, you might want to consider that Crimson. You know, let's just weigh all our options here. You go down there and change your life. So it is what it is. He's gone. The other guys are here, and they're the ones that'll be important from here on out. And that's the way it is. So 51 minutes of listening to me talk slowly and try not to say the word I'm trying to work on not saying the word That gets really tough when you're doing a podcast by yourself. And hopefully I did all right. Iowa basketball loses. Some are saying the worst men's upset in the history of basketball. Awesome. Great for us. Caitlin Clark, 75 games, 2,000 points. Actually awesome for us, mostly for her. And Proctor flips. We got 20-some new Hawkeyes that are going to contribute. Some walk-ons that I retweeted and reposted to the Instagram account. Be some washed-up walk-ons in the future. Who knows? But that's it. Hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for contributing to that $25,000 that we sent the kids this year. We will have one more episode come out on Monday. That is, I don't think we're recording on Christmas, so I think I'm going to try and do a mashup top 10 best of the year. And we will see you in 2023. So again, thank you guys for continuing to show up, listen to the walk-ons, deal with our bullshit, and support our brand. Until next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.